For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
White lies are protection, I believe.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, you don't know why you're doing it, but we find ourselves, it's like you're watching from above yourself. And you go, whoa, look at her go. Where'd you pull that one from, Davo?
Yeah.
And it's just to make yourself, like, save yourself a little bit of embarrassment or maybe or something like
shame,
that.
Shame, whatever.
Bit of shame. Bit of shame.
Bit of everything. And I had a flashback to this white lie that I used to tell, and it involves drive-thrus, cheeseburgers, and my ex.
Oh, the big three. All right, what do we got?
So, you know, every now and then I'd be driving home and I, you know, want a little dose of happy, and a Happy Meal is a great way to do that. I mean, not
why would they
sponsor.
Call it a Happy Meal? If it wasn't going to make you happy, you know?
And so obviously I'd want to get a cheeky cheeseburger, and I'm doing the drive home, and I knew that if my ex caught me having a cheeky cheeseburger, there'd be a question to be had. There'd be a discussion. There'd be some sort of shame element involved.
Oh, again.
Why are you having a cheeseburger? Yeah, it's Wednesday, you know? Like, why?
Jeez.
I've got a lean cuisine in the fridge for you. And you didn't need to have a cheeky cheeseburger. That sort of gear. So as you said, protection, shame, all of those things.
If it was called a lean, happy cuisine, maybe I would have. You know? But this one is directly called a happiness meal.
And I'm miserable, so please let me enjoy this little dose of happy. But look, I did start thinking about the extent that I would go through to hide this cheeseburger from my ex-partner. And there was a whole journey, a whole process in this, Tim.
Let's walk.
So look, I would go to the drive-thru, I'd get my cheeky cheeseburger, I'd be elated, stoked about it.
Great.
I would, this is embarrassing, I would then drive to a private car park. Somewhere, obviously, no one's sitting next to you watching you eat it, because obviously there's the car park there. People are there doing that. But I would go to a private car park, so then the shame element also hidden.
Shame from strangers.
Yeah. I'd eat the cheeky meal, and then I would discard the rubbish in a public bin, because obviously you can't have cheeseburger wrappers in your car.
Yeah.
And then I'd put a mint in my mouth. I would go home.
Yep.
I'd kiss my partner on the lips and we'd move on with our night.
Nice.
And I thought for years I was getting away with hiding this from him. And then one day he said, "Oh, no, you've got pickle breath."
That's not on. You can't say that. The mint's not strong to dethrone the pickle in there, is it?
Apparently not, mate. They got some tang.
Tell you what, Davo, besides the obvious age difference, I think you and I might have been twins separated at birth.
The obvious age difference. I'll push you off your chair.
If you're listening, take that how you will.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious age difference in whatever direction you need it to be.
Barely.
But yes, and the same. One more level from my side of the fence.
Wow.
With my current wife. Love you, Dale. And this was in like COVID years, 2020. Was working early mornings. Would come home and I'd be like, I just can't be bothered doing anything. You know, everything's such a challenge. Would go to get a chicken burger. But I would think of it. I would have already thought ahead. And for the days leading up to it, I would slowly gather physical money.
Yes, I did that too.
And notes so that there was no bank records of this. And then, so I would pay in like loosely, like, you know, a handful of coins. And then I would, order the food, go to next to a park, which had a great and always empty public bin.
Brilliant.
In there, 5 minutes, home. Not kiss my wife immediately.
No. See, that's the thing when they come at you straight away. That's part of the issue. I actually forgot that I would do the same. Yep. I would get money out of an ATM. Like, addict. It's like crazy.
100%.
It's unreal behavior. And you know what? You can be in the most loving relationship of all time. As you know, you're over there. And mine wasn't
Since
so
then,
much.
Married, kid on the way.
Yeah, amazing.
Love it.
Incredible stuff.
Love my wife.
But sometimes you still hide things from your partner.
Yep.
Little things, like a cheeseburger.
A happy thing, like a cheeseburger. 5223295 What have you hidden from your partner? If you still love them, that's great. If you don't, also great.
Yeah.
We can have those conversations.
It can be any level here.
Yep, we will take both sides. 5223295 What have you hidden? Just little white lies.
Yeah.
Just from the people that love you the most.
Is it a cheeseburger or a woman named Christine? You don't know.
Maybe some shame from Sarah in Grovedale who's given us a call. Sarah, have you hidden anything from a partner, or are you currently hiding something?
I'm currently hiding something.
Great.
Please tell us more.
So my partner hates, like, when I spend money on brand clothing. So I always pretend I've gotten stuff from the op shop and I take the tags off and I just say, oh, I just found this, like, bargain and it's this beautiful $400 piece of clothing.
Oh, has that, like, taking the tag off, has that, like, bit you in the bum before, because then you can't return it because you're doing so much to make it seem like you found it at a, like, a thrift shop or a Salvo's or an op shop?
Yeah, it has. It has. And sometimes I even give it to my friend to bring to me as a gift.
That's amazing. That is next level. That's good. Mastermind at work. I absolutely love it. Hey, just quickly, do you manage, like, obviously you'd have to have separate banks or something to be able to hide the money.
Yeah, we've got separate banks.
You'd have to be, because that's a lot of to be able to sneak.
Hey, it's incredible watching someone excel at their craft.
Fly.
Sarah, so there's nothing wrong with the three of us. Play on.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
Earlier this week, I shared some pretty exciting news.
Yeah.
It's life-changing, something that, you know, you really hope for and you wish for and, you know, how much is this going to change my life?
Mm-mm.
Now, you might be thinking about how I spoke about how my wife is expecting our second child.
Which is so exciting. Little baby girl in December.
Yes, but that is not what I'm talking about. I ran the other day for the first time in years, on purpose, without being chased.
Yeah.
All on my own.
That was my first thought and question, was who was chasing you? What went wrong? Yeah. Tell me about it. But you were like, no, I just thought I'd get out and go for a bit of a run to feel good about myself, which is great.
There was a kid on a scooter who was scooting after me at one point the other day. And I thought, what's your business, mate? And allegedly he said, I'm just going to school. Mm. I don't know. Interesting story from young fella. But yeah, did a run, ran about a K and a half, and then thought, wow, my lungs aren't agreeing with me here.
Now, I just want to point out, the other day you said it was a kilometre. Now you're adding an extra half a K.
And
so
that's what we do.
Okay,
and that's
nice.
What we do.
Bit of mayo.
Yep, but, you know, a bit of running, then some walking, looking at my heart rate, then Googling what heart rate is acceptable before you go into, like, a cardiac arrest kind of situation. And, yeah, 166 is high.
It's high.
But not to be worried, like, if that, unless that's my heart rate forever.
Resting
onwards.
Heart rate.
Yeah, if my resting was 166, I'd be worried. But I came in and I was like, hey, I don't know what I've done. I blacked out and I accidentally went for a run. And I was telling a few people, I ran.
Mm.
I ran.
And everyone was very surprised.
Tim, yeah, and there was a chant. It was a chant of surprise. But I can say, Davo, I actually haven't ran. I'm now running because I've done it again on
purpose.
I've done it again on purpose.
A second jog.
Yeah. And today, so what I've been doing is I say to my wife the night before, I say, hey, tomorrow, remind me and make me run.
Because
then I can take it out on someone that isn't me.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'm like,
great.
Set yourself up. Yep, it's great. She hasn't spoken to me since. But, okay, hey, just say, remember you said you're going to go for a run. This morning, foggy. Very cold.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep so great. All the big three for me to say, there's no way I'm running today.
Genuinely, they are three great excuses to say, put that snooze alarm on.
Yep.
You ain't going anywhere, brother.
I'm not going for a run.
I would say this is a great welcome to your mid-30s. You've made it. This is your midlife crisis.
I'm at the tail end of my early 30s, I'll have you know, as a 33-year-old.
Wouldn't have thought so.
No, because 34, well, 35, 36, that's your mids.
No, but while you are running, this is a huge development into your mid-30s because, like I said, it's about this time in your life where you start going, right, let's tidy things up and let's do something for me.
Real things that happened today after I went for my run. Looked in the mirror, shirtless, thought, am I ripped? Is this?
Yeah.
But I think when I ran, all of the excess weight that I've been carrying, it must have just jiggled down to my ankles. It must be carrying it in my calves and my ankles because I was like, wow, this is fitness. I am fitness.
Incredible.
Collectively, I have run 4 kilometres now because I did a few extra today.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm crazy.
I'd like to see your Strava, if I'm honest.
When are the Olympics?
When
are the Olympics?
The distance is sort of changing every time we speak
2 years.
About it.
2 years until the Olympics wheel back around. I've missed the Comm Games that are this year. I understand that.
Isn't there a running festival here in Geelong that you could get around if you're that keen? there a marathon or something? I don't know.
There's a family run. And what am I if not a family man? I'm a family man.
Yeah, okay.
Look.
Maybe.
It's not a no.
Nice.
I've run twice. So the world's my oyster right now. Mm-hmm. I think I'm feeling the C word. Confidence.
Okay.
For the first time in a long time. And it's crazy. And I would implore you, because again, I haven't run in years. And it was just like, run as far as I can. I was just like, hey, run for 10 minutes without stopping.
You're an inspiration. You're a fitspiration. You are, I'm just honestly, saying, like, get him on the cover of Men's Health.
No, make people make you accountable, because I'm not going to ever be accountable for me. I am the world's easiest manager for myself. I'll be like, you know what? Like, as you said, I'd be the world's worst personal trainer, because if I was helping you, you'd be like, Tim, make sure I do 10 push-ups. I go, all right, do 10. You go, I don't feel like it. I go, fair enough.
Fine.
It's your body, your rules. So,
but the world's your oyster, mate.
Yep.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
When you're hanging around the house at home, are you sort of someone that likes to, like, are you a nude at home kind of guy?
Well, Davo, not too much. Even in the warmer months, I think it might be because of how I feel about my body.
No, oh, okay.
like even on really hot days, I'll always have a t-shirt and shorts on.
Oh, I'm so glad you said and shorts, because were just trotting around in a t-shirt Winnie the Pooh style, no. I'd have some problems.
But like after and before showers, like if you need if undies are on the line, you got to walk to the other end of the house. That's fine. I don't know why I went Irish in the middle. The order ended a house to get me undies. Yeah, but then like they'll be on. My son, who's about to turn 3, I would say 60% of the time he's probably nude around the house.
Yeah.
Just absolutely like doesn't want to be dressed, doesn't want to be undressed. But when he is undressed, he's like, don't come near me. I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah, great. Well, good on him. And I mean, I completely get around that, because me at home, I obviously live by myself. So I honestly don't care. And I am naked a lot of the time.
So like this weekend you were home, you pretty much said you went for a few walks clothed.
Yeah.
But near Point Addis, and there is that nudist beach.
Yeah, there is.
So
I have been known to frequent those.
Okay. So like you were home for most of this weekend just passed.
Yeah.
Like, how much of that were you nude in a percentage?
Look, like say like if I was to have a shower or something before and after the shower, say like I will spend probably an hour before, maybe an hour and a half after, like just mucking around.
Just fully nude.
Yeah, just nude and just getting on with things around the house.
You know, cleaning knives, you know, cheese graters, all those normal things to do when you're nude.
Now, I live in an apartment and I sort of live on a story that's sort of above, you know, eyesight when you're walking around. So yeah. It wouldn't really, you know, it's not a problem sort of thing.
You can't look up into it, can you?
Well, no, I wouldn't have thought so, because of course there's like there's a curtain as well that I pull over. It's a little bit sheer, but of course I still figure that
sheer's fine.
You're sorting it out.
During the day, sheer you can't see through. Nah. At night when the lights are on, that's when you can see through
and
sheer.
And that's usually when I am around the
Starkers,
place. Yeah. And look, I have sort of tested this out before. Like I've walked,
call me and you're like, hey, can you see if I'm nude?
No.
I go, yeah, you are.
No. When I walk near my house, I walk on the side of the street that's where the house is. And so I've always sort of checked and have a look and see like what's happening up there and, you know, just, oh yeah, no, you can't see anything in there. Like, you can probably see some lights. And
but you're on the sidewalk that's directly next to the building.
Yeah. So yesterday I decided to go a different way home and I was walking across the road and I looked over at my apartment building, and in the apartment across from, like next to me, directly next to me, there was someone at their fridge with the sheer curtain pulled over, completely naked, and I could see
everything.
Everything. And I mean everything. Yeah. I could probably see a freckle on their belly. So I've realized pretty quickly that for 10 months I have been basically
flashing
like a lady in the red light district at the windows, just come hithering at the streets.
Yeah. Can I ask? I think I know the answer, but can I ask a question? Yeah, it's not ideal.
I'm devastated.
Can I ask a question that I think I know the answer to?
Yeah.
Isn't there a bus stop on that side of the street from your house? And when you're in a bus, Davo, you're also a little bit elevated, so they're almost at your height. Getting a whole show.
Yeah, I just thought, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm obviously now going to change my behaviour, maybe pull down the blinds. I have been lazy with pulling down the blinds, but now we've understood. that I've been flashing for the last 10 months.
And that's why all the protests seem to happen around your area of town. They're like, nah, we'll do it here. There's no political reason, but it's a good spot. Trust
me. It's Tim and Davo.
We want to know if it's okay to re-gift, because my mum did a doozy the other day. I was on FaceTime with her and we were talking about my sister's birthday. Now, unfortunately, I hadn't sent a present.
Yeah.
Had no plans to, but my mum... My mum was like, hey, well, I've probably got something around here that I can wrap up for you and give to her. And I said, oh, that's really nice, sure. And when we're on FaceTime, she picked up this candle and said, oh, I've got this putrid, hideous candle. You could probably give this to her, having a great laugh about it. And I said, well, that's actually something I gave you for Christmas last year and it cost me $50.
How did she respond to that? Oh, lovey.
It was sorry, love. Oh,
it's not that bad.
Not to worry.
Oh, thanks.
Dismiss feelings and move on.
How, and like in the, so you could have had a moment where you just went, all right, well, clearly she wants to re-gift something that I've given her. Do I bring it up or do I just, like other things, bury it right down there and not mention it again? So you chose to go, hey, I actually gave that to you, Mum.
Yeah, I spoke up for the first time in my 35 years, you know.
Woo! Good job. So it hasn't landed well because it was dismissed. Okay, well. Regifting as a concept, though, besides this specific example, I think is fine.
Yeah, great.
You seem to have found the most hurtful version of regifting, Davo. So, gold star to you. Lloyd in Armstrong Creek, how do you feel about regifting?
I don't see it being a problem.
Yeah, nice. Have you had this happen to you?
My partner and I actually done it for a good friend of ours a couple of years ago when we sold our place. And, you know, we were pretty shattered to leave our neighbours behind and whatnot. And when we moved into our new place, we got given a nice little gift pack from the real estate as like a bit of a welcoming gift. And they give you a couple of bottles of red wine and champagne and all that. And I tell you what, to us, that's free piddle. So we don't really drink that. So we thought, well, we know who someone actually would love that. And... dear old lovely neighbour, hope he's listening. I love you very much. But we gifted him a lovely bottle of red.
Didn't even take it out of the cellophane, did you, Lloyd?
No, 100%. We already knew what it was and we were like, yeah, you can have that. We're definitely not drinking that.
That's great.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I think bottles of wine are definitely the most acceptable one that you can re-gift. Yep. No dramas
candles
there.
Candles that you've lit and sniffed and decided to foul, probably less on the nose.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.